Hey everybody, Daniel Gregory, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I've been rereading the book On Photography by Susan Sontag for a class that I'm teaching, and there's some really interesting ideas and concepts in the book that I thought I'd like to talk about this week and next week. It's a pretty dense book with a lot of information. It's not super long, but it's a collection of essays about photography and our relationship to photography, which is really great because much like we looked at with Roland Barthes, Susan's not a photographer, so she's got a different association and a different look at photography and its impact across society and herself as an artist and as an individual in society. The book is actually a collection of essays that she had written for the New York Review of Books between 1973 and 1977. And I think that's really important when you look at the book and when you read the book is understanding the context of when it was written. She has subsequently rewritten parts of it and updated it and had certain responses to the criticism of the book. But really understanding what was going on in photography and in modern art, and as we move from modernism to postmodernism, I think is really important. One of the other great pieces about this book is she looks at a large number of photographers in support of her opinions and criticisms and realizations about photography. So rather than honing in on just one specific photograph, she looks at several. One of the ones she looks at in particular is Diane Arbus. And there's some really interesting information about Diane Arbus, and we'll talk about that in next week's podcast a little bit. For this week, I wanted to focus on the first essay in the book, which is called In Plato's Cave. If you don't know anything about Plato's Cave, it comes about from Socrates and Plato and their understanding of a discussion about reality. And that there's this cave that has people imprisoned within the cave, and what they can see is the wall, and there's eventually shadows that come onto the wall. And they start to describe those shadows, ascribe meaning to those shadows, and believe those shadows to be real. Eventually, one of the prisoners gets free, and after their light eyes adjust to the light and the brightness of the fire, they begin to see the actual objects that were creating the shadows. And so there's this notion of what is perceived as real is in the context of what you understand your reality to be, what you can actually see, and then as more information is provided, that may change your reality or change your understanding of the world. Plato and Socrates, of course, then go on to have further discussions about what happens if you return to the cave or not. But I think it's really important when you get into the essay, of the basic foundation of that title when you get into the essay, because a lot of what Sontag references and talks about is this notion that photography and photographs only present a truthfulness in the photograph that is not completely true, that our understanding is layered upon multiple different associations, expectations, things that we've been told, and that photography really doesn't create a true capture of the world. And that's why I say, you know, in some ways for us today, as we've talked a lot, that may not seem that revolutionary, but I think for going back into the 70s and coming out of journalism and how photography had been thought of as an art, is that it was a much more real art because it captured the world that was in front of us. It wasn't constructed like painting was or like sculpting was, that there was a sense of truthfulness to that. Well, one of the things that Sontag talks about is that personal truthfulness in photography is actually what makes photography interesting. It's our ability to go look and find multiple meanings within the work that creates what we ascribe to the photograph, and that's part of its appeal. One of the other things she really emphasizes in this early part of this chapter is that photography has become mass art. And what she means by that is everybody has a camera. So you think about 1973, 74, everybody having a camera. Whereas today, we're literally everybody with a cell phone has a camera. This idea that we create mass art, we create so much art, and that because of that, what we in fact do is we don't practice art. We don't practice the craft and art of photography. We're more enamored with just the capture of photography, which is one of the things we've talked about off and on this podcast, that there's this distinction between taking a picture and being a photographer and then being a photographer who's working as an artist. Because there's different accountabilities, responsibilities, and ways of seeing that's in that. And it's one of the things that Sontag really talks about. The other thing she talks about within that mass art, which I think is even more prevalent today than it was when she wrote the essay, is that people with cameras spend a lot of time looking for their photograph rather than experiencing the moment or location where they're at. So they schedule their events and capture and photograph their events rather than experiencing the event. And you see this, if you go to a concert that allows cameras and allows cell phones, you'll see hundreds of cell phones being up in the air and people looking at the back of their screen rather than actually watching the concert. you think about going out to dinner with friends, how many times have they interrupted a meal to take a picture of the food that came to the table or something like that? So there's this, all these photographs are being created for a variety of reasons, but in some ways they're actually extracting us and removing us from those moments. And one of the things I've always postulated is that a photographer artist or somebody who's able to experience the world in those moments is it's not just about the creation of the photograph and not experiencing the moment, but it is also about being present to that moment to actually experience and find something of significance. A third big kind of point that I love in this essay, and it's one of my favorites because I had never really thought about it until I read this book several years ago, but she talks about the predatory nature of photography and how photographers and cameras in some ways have replaced guns on safari. And we use the same terminology. So we take, we capture our words that we replaced with kill. And so there's this notion of taking, stealing that happens in photography, which I think is a really interesting kind of way of thinking about it. Because I do believe that as you go in with the intention of how you experience your photograph and what you do makes a complete difference in the outcome of the photograph. And so if you don't have an awareness of the predatory nature of photography, if you think about a street photographer, do you stay hidden in the shadows? Are you out and about? If you think about some of those photographers that are completely in your face with a camera when you're out on the street and how much they violate your personal space and how tight that makes your chest feel and how predatory that feels. There's a number of different ways we think about how photography gets created, a bunch of words on how we describe it. But this notion of capture and take is, I think, a really important element that I had never considered until I had read the book. I think one of the other interesting elements of this Plato's Cave essay is that she has an opinion that photography was created to educate and show the world to the less educated, and that real meaning and significance and understanding doesn't come from the photograph, because the photograph was a mirror, a theoretical mirror of society, where true understanding came from books and essays and written materials that required some level of deeper analysis. And this is one of the areas where I kind of start to diverge a little bit. And I think this is a lack of understanding of her part on necessarily the way photography created by somebody with meaning and intention versus the mass art. So on the mass art side, I do think there is a believability to that. There is this notion that we're conveying this meaning. We don't have the same understanding. We don't peel back the layers. We don't dive deeper. But I think for the photographer who is trying to create additional meaning and show additional work and create something new, I do think it does create a deeper understanding. One of the things she does talk about in that, in support of that, is how much of photography is repetitious. So that the first time we saw Weston's close-up of leaves and the shells and the peppers, that was really informative. That was something new that did teach us something. But for a lot of people in the photography world, they then emulated and redid that same work over and over again, not providing any new insight, any new understanding. And I think that goes back to that difference between mass art creation and intentional art creation. Another area that kind of closes down that essay, she talks about the five ways a photograph fails. And I want to go through those because I think there's an interesting take as a photographer versus a non-photographer that kind of makes a difference. But it's great conversation, I think, if you get together with some of your friends and have a great conversation about photography and why it works and doesn't work. These are great talking points. The first is how she talks about how photography fails in time and space. And that's because we've always believed that photography is represented as what was real and what was in front of us, but yet what they actually are fractions of time. They're fractions of moments, and they're discontiguous particles or disconnected pieces of the entire world that was in front of us. And so those small decisions has photography fail as a deeper understanding tool, a deeper meaning tool. I actually think that's one of the strengths of photography, and it's one of the things in critical analysis of photography that we have to think about is what have we been shown, what have we not been shown, and how did the point of view and position of a photographer make a difference? I think that's actually a great critique question to start from, of how does our understanding of time and space and object enhance it? So I don't necessarily think a photograph fails because of that or photography fails because of that, but I do think it becomes an interesting talking point. One of the other pieces is she talks about how photography only shows the surface of an object, and therefore to get deeper meaning, to get deeper understanding, we as the viewer have to deduce or intuitively come up with the meaning of the object. And I don't think photography fails in that standpoint. And I think if that's your criteria, all art fails, all written, all sculpture, all everything, because it is subject to meaning, understanding, interpretation. But that's also one of the reasons art is so successful, is it does have us think about how can the same object have multiple meanings and multiple interpretations. The third point she has is that a photograph only shows us, and photography only shows us the world, if we accept what we see in the photograph as the world. And then in her belief is that understanding comes from not accepting the world the way it is. And I agree with this point. I think this is one of the interesting things about photography, particularly up until the point she had written this, is that we did have a believability of photographs. We thought they were accurate. We thought they were factual. We thought they always showed the truth. What's interesting now is if you think about how photography has been flipped on its end through the digital manipulation, and we talk about photographs being photoshopped, and there's a lot more people that are suspect of photographs because they believe they've been digitally manipulated, and they in fact don't show the truth and the world as we see it. And I think that's an interesting change that's happened in photography since the essay was originally written. And I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I do think photographs can reflect an amazing world we see in front of us. And yes, because of the framing, the point of view, the lens choices, processing choices, we do see a world that is reflective of the artist. But at that same time, it's through that understanding of the artist and their world and the multiple images they may create, do we get a deeper understanding of maybe the way the world is and our understanding of the world through the eyes of somebody else. Her fourth point talks about how one of the ways photography fails is there's a sentimentality to photography and photos when we look at them that can override some of the other types of knowledge and information we might bring to the photograph. And I agree with this one. I think this is one of the reasons photographers fail in the selection of their better work when they're actually editing and sequencing. I think it's one of the reasons they fail when they're out shooting is they get wrapped up in the moment and they remember the moment. And we've talked about this in prior podcasts. They get caught up in the moment. They remember the moment. We've talked about this in prior podcasts where the photograph itself doesn't have any of those memories and the viewer doesn't have any of those memories. So it's really important to get a strong photograph out there without relying on and depending on some level of memory and association because the viewer may not have any. But I think she's got a really good point here about the sentimentality of photographs sometimes can actually cause them to fail because the viewer may have a sentimental attachment to whatever's in the frame or the photographer might have, and it may not be congruent with the actual message it was intended. And I think the last point she has, which is a really, really interesting point, which I had never really thought about, is that photography is a duplication of the world. It's a recreation of the world. It's those shadows on the wall in Plato's cave. And that in some ways it makes the world seem that it's more available than it really is, that we can get to more locations, we can do more things. And in fact, there is a limitation for a lot of people and for a lot of us on how we experience the world, and that the photograph itself may not convey all those opportunities and all those interests. I would highly encourage you to pick up On Photography if you haven't read it, or if it's been a while since you have read it. I think it's a great read. She's, like I said, because Susan's not a photographer, you get a really interesting take on the work. It's also, I think, an interesting read because it's not an academic writing and they are very freeform essays. So there's not a lot of footnotes and references. She's not trying to argue and countermand on a education PhD level kind of thing. These are really a kind of a collection of thoughts and experiences on photography. Next week, we'll take a look at a couple of the other little smaller essays towards the back of the book, which I think have some really interesting points. If you haven't picked up the book, you can always find it up on Amazon. It's been out forever, so you can find it in a local bookstore or used bookstore. But like I said, I highly encourage you to pick it up. I hope you have a great week behind the camera and that you get out there and get to shoot some things here as springtime rolls around. Don't forget, you can always find us on the website at www.theperceptivephotographer.com, or you can find us up on iTunes. And I hope you have a great week.